Alize America presents Seeker Delise Tour Mexico City Tokyo Bootleg Video, the unofficial fan commentary track. So just before we get started here again, we should probably just introduce ourselves. Hi, everybody. I'm Roroshan.
I'm Raj.
I'm Roman.
I'm toilet paper, I guess.
Nice!
Yeah,
that is good. I'm Lowbeam.
I'm Ben, Snatcher 42.
And with us as well in the chat room, but without mics, are Jimmy Dean 23 and Alize 911. So, welcome everybody to the second of what appears to be a series of commentary tracks that the fans here at Alize America have been recording. The first one, if you haven't heard it, was for the Alize En Concert DVD. You can find that on the Alize America podcast feed on iTunes or at www.alizeamerica.com. Now, this one is going to be a commentary track to what is essentially a fan bootleg recording of the concert that Alize performed in Mexico City at the Auditorio Nacional on June 18th of 2008, one of five concerts that she did in Mexico as part of her Seeker Delise tour. So the video was shot, we have a courtesy of a fan named, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, it's either Takeo or Takeo, I'm sorry, I'm not entirely sure which, and he's an Alize fan who participates mainly on one of the Mexican fan sites, right, Ben?
Takeo is mostly posts on Alize World Forum, and he started posting these clips in their media section, and there's a whole story about, you know, how they were really tough on security about letting cameras in, so it's amazing he was able to take this. From the look of it, he's probably on one of the balconies, but I don't know. And he's filming, you know, the two screens on either side of the stage. So he started posting these videos, and there was some concern that if they're going to be releasing a DVD, maybe he shouldn't do that. So he stopped for a while, having posted about half of them. And then when it was clear nothing was official was coming, at least for the time being, the remaining files were shared in the Alize World online magazine. So that's how we got this video, and it's really quite a cool recording to have.
There's actually a great story in the Takeo chat party thread at Alize America about how he smuggled in a camera and took a big risk in doing so because other people all around him who had smuggled in cameras for the purpose of recording the concert were having their memory sticks confiscated by security and having them broken right in front of him, including people to the right of him and people to the left of him. So he took an amazing risk and it really paid off. It does start off a little rough, so if you haven't seen it before, give it time. Over time, once we've gotten a few songs in, it actually becomes pretty amazing. We get a lot of really nice close-ups, we get a lot of detail, and while it's certainly not professional quality like En Concert was, it's still pretty amazing for a fan bootleg.
Yeah, and I think he made a really smart move to film the screens because basically that lets the other camera operators basically do the editing for him. So it feels like you're watching an edited video, even though he's just pointing it in one place and holding down record.
Now, the idea here is that you listening at home will start your copy of the Takeo bootleg at the same time that we all start ours. And follow along with us as we watch it together in real time via the magic of the internets. Sharing commentary, observations, a little bit of armchair quarterbacking, and generally just being a big bunch of fanboys. If you don't have a copy, it's easy enough to find. All you have to do is come join us in the podcast forum at alizeamerica.com. And there you'll be able to find links to both the original MPEG files that Takeo uploaded, which you can then load into the media player of your choice and watch on your PC. Or you'd be able to download a torrent for a DVD conversion, which I put up a few months ago, from which you can then burn the entire concert to a DVD and watch it in the comfort of your living room on a big screen instead. So just before we get started here, Snatcher and Roman were actually at this concert, and Lowbeam, I don't think, was actually at this particular concert, but was at one of the performances in Mexico. So do any of you guys want to say anything about the concert before we get started?
I just wanted to repeat that you can't go by the sound quality on these bootlegs. It sounded so much better being there. Not that this sounds bad, but there was a better balance to it.
Yeah, some of the songs actually, one of them I might even point out, you know, that it's like the music overwhelms Alize and it doesn't really come out right. But anyway, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I was at Monterey, and all I can remember is I only went to the one concert, and my heart was beating so much that I thought I was going to die there. And then this is my favorite song, Lilytown, the one that starts the concert, because she says welcome, steps out on the stage, and it was just tremendous.
It would have been a good way to go, but oh well.
Oh, I'd have died happy.
Well, so speaking of which, that's the first song, and before that, I'll say I don't really remember the beginning of the concert except for the first at the first one. Before the beginning, we were able to walk right up to the stage and stand around taking photos and such. That was pretty cool. And they had that animated logo running on that back screen with some kind of music or low sounds going with it. And, oh, yeah, and then the first concert, or first couple in the Auditorio Nacional had the House of the Rising Sun on the giant pipe organ. And there was another song. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure Ben remembers.
I'm sure a lot of stuff that we've forgotten. People can listen to on the podcast I recorded shortly after returning. I think that's podcast 8 or something like that. I just remember that song. That was awesome, though. She did like 4 or 5 songs, but House of the Rising Sun's the main one I remember. In fact, that was a highlight of the show.
Yeah, I only remember that because of your comments about it.
I was like, this is awesome. House of the Rising Sun on an organ in Mexico City, just like so random and so kick-ass, and before an Alize concert. I don't know, that's just like, ooh, there's nothing better than that. By the way, it's podcast 7 if people want to listen. Podcast 7, I give the whole report of these concerts.
And then what they didn't get here is that opening, like in her 2003 concerts, they had some cool opening music with a lot of bass and all that, which had that rising anticipation feeling to it, but that didn't get captured here. All right, I guess we need a countdown.
All right, Toilet Paper, you want to give us a countdown here?
Okay, everybody ready?
Ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, the blur up.
I'll have to really turn it down to hear you guys.
So like I said, it is a little blurry and a little slipshod at the beginning here, but It honestly does get much, much better as we go along. So please don't give up on it. Just stick with us here. Things will get better in a few minutes.
All right. Well, as for the Harlequins, or whatever you want to call them, I don't mind them. I don't have any complaints.
They creep me out. I am really creeped out by those things.
The one thing was kind of funny, the guy there, he's doing that kind of Vanna White thing. It seemed a little odd. It's like, yeah, dude, I know. It's Alize. I don't need you to point that out to me. You know, it's, I don't know what that was all about. But
I liked, and we should talk more about this when it comes up in the show, but when he's just like pointing to the guitarist while I was soloing, like the male clown just showed me like, hey, look, he's doing a solo. That's cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you paying attention? Yeah, this is awesome.
And actually, I may be one of the few who thinks that the bubble thing was actually kind of cool. I mean, like, what if she just hadn't done it, just skipped it? That's not better. It's different. I'll give her that.
The bubble thing.
Well, it is
psychedelic.
You're talking about the Harlequin in the bubble?
Right.
No, I like that, too. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I love the bubble thing, and I like the clowns, but they are creepy. But to me, that's, like, a good thing. You can never have too much creepy and weird, so...
Okay.
Is that now? Because I don't see any bubbles.
No, that's coming later.
Oh, yeah, that's in another song, but anyway. You had some questions. One of the things was comparisons with the old concert. I think it's very hard not to compare new Alize to earlier Alize and this concert to the other tour, but I do think it is kind of comparing des grandes pommes des oranges. We've always known that she'd be without the clout and experience of Mylène Laurent, and we knew that it made a question of whether she'd be viable at all or not, and in fact, it was really an unknown before her return. And we knew that before, so much was Mylène's doing, and it was a really mystery how Alizé was going to appear to us. So as to the quality of the new music, how she chose to present herself, and what types of performances she decided to do, and the quality of singing is what we have to judge, and most of that is under her control. I mean, who else? And knowing what she's done in the past, we will, of course, compare to it. So, frankly, that is only fair.
So while we're at the comparison part, what do you guys think of the dress? Because I think, in concert, when I see this dress, I mean, really, this is not much
different. This one in particular reminds me a lot of that the blue and white dress that she wears during Gourmandise.
Yeah, that's the closest thing here.
And you guys were talking in the last commentary about the not-so-sexy part. I mean, we can see here that's very true. This is not a very sexy dress. But at the same time, it's what she wore at the end concert. So, there's a lot of confusion there.
Sort of. It's not really the same. I think it does have to do more with how she's using it. I don't know. How else can you say it?
Yeah, that's true, actually. Because the dresses themselves, they don't play that big of a part, really. It's much more, as you say, how you use them, how she's acting, how she play about. So when people are complaining about the dresses, I don't think...
No, exactly, and that was my point that I was making during the En Concert DVD, is that there really isn't a huge difference between the outfit she was wearing there and the outfit she's wearing now. It's not like the outfit she was wearing then were super revealing.
Well, that one dress, I don't think you can say that about the rest of them, frankly.
So, anyone got this for the most favorable dress?
No, I got a different one. That was a pretty cool opening of that Mademoiselle Juliette.
Yes, I actually really like that opening. Again, I wish the album version had opened like that.
Yeah, I thought it was later on, but they had the strobing, flashing purple lights that were dashing across the audience, an exhilarating lighting effect. That was really cool when I was there. I remember that.
One thing I thought worked a little better the first night is she had a different first outfit. So she had the same first outfit she used in Moscow, that sort of purple dress with a print of some woman on it, sort of 80s looking. And yeah. I like this new one she's wearing too, but I think that dress worked much better for sort of this song. What she's wearing here is sort of very childlike, and I don't think it works as well for this song, which is a darker song.
The performance of it here, maybe you mean, as opposed to the song itself?
Well, and the song too, with the lyrics, I mean, adding closely to the play, which is a tragedy.
Well, except for that it followed more of the girls just want to have fun version, as I say.
Yeah, but that's in sort of a reaction to, I don't want to go kill myself, so I'm going to party. So that's kind of dark.
Shakespeare is reinterpreted by Cyndi Lauper, is that what we're saying?
That's a good way to describe it.
Now, one other big complaint that we've seen in the Cirque de Lis era is that there's not as much choreography. Really, a lot of what she's doing on the stage here is, she is going back and forth, she is moving around a lot, she's very animated, but a lot of what she's just doing is more or less two-stepping.
Yeah, she's just moving around, but, people complained about, with the Russia concert, not having that much energy or whatever. Well, she brought it here, I'll tell you that. I mean, she really does move around a lot, and if you compare it to what she had been doing earlier in the year, it really surprised me that she could jump around and bounce around so much and still sing at the same time, really.
Well, in a way, I think she almost demonstrates more energy here than she did in En Concert. And En Concert, yes, there's a lot of, highly choreographed numbers, but there's also a lot of her just either sitting on the shoe or just standing at the microphone. And here, there's a lot of energy. She's running back and forth. She's, she's waving to the audience. So I think there's actually a lot more energy here. I love her expression here.
Oh, yeah, she was really bringing out the facial expressions and everything in this concert. She just, put so much energy and everything into some parts of this.
Yeah, constant movement and mugging and just cuteness all the way.
Now, as for her singing, sometimes, like, where she does kind of a high-pitched thing, too, it's kind of feel like, I don't know if she's just trying to project, and her voice is not really strong, but, you know, it's not like on the album, for example. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I didn't really care for that. I don't think she did it as much in Monterey. I wasn't actually at this concert. I didn't hear it that much in Monterey.
Do you think she, like, trained her voice at all?
I don't think she necessarily trained it as much as she would have during the Mylene days.
Which is probably why she's better in Monterey.
Actually, Guadalajara was the best as far as her singing goes.
Wish I could compare.
Yeah, on her albums, and the studio albums, you know, I don't know what they do, but apparently it's hard to duplicate live. And it seems like her... But, you know, actually, if you listen to the bootleg of the Nice concert, she sounds a lot more like she did in 2008 here. Well, I don't know about a lot, but more like.
I know she sounds different on the albums, but I actually like her live voice.
No, absolutely. I agree. I think she sounds awesome live.
Well, and it seems like her voice has changed since 2000. I mean, you know, obviously she's done a lot of growing up, but not really in the way I would have expected.
Her voice actually seems higher now than it did.
Yeah, that's what I think. And you know what? There's videos of her in her school. I have one I was just listening to recently, and you know, that certainly is not professionally done or anything. It's worse quality than this. It's just a recording of her on stage, and you can hear it there too.
Well, I think it might be also the songs that they've written for this album as well. On the previous albums, they tended more towards the lower register, whereas these ones, she's singing more in a higher register, which I don't think her voice necessarily handles as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on all that.
I agree that so I think it's probably a choice, and you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing she could sing in her old style if she tried. I miss the curly hair. It's still one of my favorite styles at Liz and Farah. This year she had sort of the bob cut you saw at the awards in Mexico a few months ago, and it's grown in some, and I think it looks a lot. I didn't like it at first. It's grown in. Oh, here we go, you know, guys talking about hair again. But it's grown in a bit, and it's quite nice.
It wouldn't be LSA America if we didn't talk about hair.
Yeah, it's grown on. It's one, it's grown on me, and two, I think having a little time for the hair to grow in has made it look better. So I like the style, but I still miss this a lot. It's great.
So does anyone have this down? We've kind of neglected this. We're already three songs in. Does anyone have this one down as their favorite song? And that's a no.
No, I already said Lilytown was my favorite just because her stepping out and saying welcome just knocked me down.
That must have been dangerous with 100 Mexicans on your back.
No, not yet. I was still in my seat by that time. We're not up at the barricade yet.
Oh, man. Do you remember the first night how much we were jumping around? I mean, the first few rows on June 17th were Alize Latino people, so a good group of fans, and then we were there in, like, third row. I mean, it was a short concert, but afterward, I was just a wreck physically.
I love how the audience doesn't necessarily know what song it is because it's the reorchestration version of it, but as soon as she goes into the first lines of the song, they freak out.
Yeah, I actually listened for that in some of the songs when I first watched it.
Okay, so for the reorchestrations, generally speaking, well, I do find a certain need for Alize to change and grow, and if she's changing, we need to move with her. You just can't screw with a great song. I can't really support the reorchestrations, wrong or right. Having said that, I still enjoy hearing them, and this is actually one of my favorites, in spite of the Island Jam reorchestration.
I am not a fan of the Island Jam reorchestration. Otherwise, I really dig the reorchestrations. I think they're brilliant. This is, I think, the least successful of them.
So, Low Beam, you have something to say about that?
Are you asking for the Don Ho reference, where she should be in Hawaii singing with him on these?
There you go.
Tiny bubble.
The bubbles are later, but they'll be bubbles.
You know, looking at this, just to take us back to wardrobe for a second again here.
I think the outfits that she's wearing in this one are just chosen for practicality. They're a lot easier to move in. They've got to be a lot cooler under those lights, so it just makes more sense.
Well, easier to change in and out of.
I think it's also just style. It's style, and it's what she likes. And yeah, changing out of, that's true too. And that reminds me of how it seems like these went pretty quickly. I almost got the feeling sometimes like she's in some kind of hurry to get out of there. I don't know.
Well, one thing I've noticed, this is a really short concert, especially compared to En Concert.
Yeah, they could have let the audience, you know, more, a bit more clapping and cheering. They also, you know, cut out a number of songs from Moscow. I should say this recording is missing probably about 10 minutes, and that's mostly Harlequin sequences, but there's a bit of music missing and a bit of banter. So the recording's a bit short, but yeah, it was still, even at the time, you know, coming out of that concert exhausted, I looked at my watch and be like, that was kind of short. My main, I was like, another couple, three songs, please.
One concert, by the time, from the time we went in to the time we walked out of the thing, was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's kind of 90 minutes from door in to door out.
Bubbles.
Yes, bubbles.
Tiny bubbles.
The Harlequins just creep me out.
I saw the, I gotta drop this. I saw the female Harlequin at Alizé's hotel at Monterey, and she's actually very attractive.
Catherine, yeah, I got a picture of AC Mix standing next to her.
No, okay, yes, without the makeup, yes, she's a hottie. There's no arguing that.
Makes a big difference, makeup or not.
Don't need to argue, but.
I liked how she did the pretending to type and all that stuff with her props in this one. It's kind of funny. Oh, and right here, it's funny how Takeo just totally loses it when she lies on the bed.
Well, can you blame him? I would be doing the same thing. I'm glad that she brought the ba-da-da-da back into the song. That was missing from the acoustic version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I liked it right there. She sounded a lot right there like she did in En Concert, in fact. There's certain things like that you can hear. It's like, oh, yeah, she sounds exactly the same. So on this song, she's not really doing that sensual, sexy thing so much, although she didn't really do that in concert. She just did what the dance was. But still, she pretty much neutered this song and just made it fun rather than sexy. But sounds good.
I don't think calling it neutered is fair. It's definitely...
Well, you know what I mean. It's like when she did the performances of the song, it definitely had a side to it that.
Oh, absolutely. But
you
I
just don't get
was...
anymore.
No, but I think that was more my lane than Alize, and I think what we're actually
well, right,
was more...
and so she right. So that's what she's doing. I mean, that's an example of how things have changed.
Right, exactly. Now we're seeing more of just Alize's fun, happy-go-lucky, kind of goofy side. You know what I mean?
You know, all three concerts I was at, she really got the audience. You know, especially this second night, it took a while, but by the end, they were all really into it.
Yeah, some of those were awesome, and just where you just have this big field of people screaming out "Alize, Alize," which you don't really hear any of that in here. But there were times when she'd be gone for like 5 minutes, and we were just yelling it the whole time.
Yeah, I think "Psique d'Elise" is a really great name for this album. It really pretty much says it all, as we get now with the song. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I really love this girl screaming at the like crazy at the end of that last song. That was great.
Now, this song took me a while to warm up to. I actually do like it a lot now, but when I first heard it on the album, not necessarily my favorite.
Yeah, it has a really catchy thing to it, but yeah, it may be my least favorite, actually, on the album.
It's interesting that these songs by Daniel Dark have not more hasn't been done with like publicizing them, because he's really popular in France.
Now, one thing that we don't really get to see, obviously because he's shooting the Jumbotron, is we don't get to see a lot of the background effects, a lot of the animation that was going on behind her, which is a shame.
I was just going to mention that.
Like this one, the one for this one in particular, where it's the tape deck and the tape is like unspooling and it's like Nevermore and then Jamais Plus. That I thought was really cool, and I wish we could have captured some of that.
I think yeah, we got a little bit of that, actually. I think he managed to film a bit of that if we had paid for it.
Yeah, there's not really much in this video, but there are in other videos.
And what's the guy saying there? You're not getting out of his age, turn the camera, fool. There you go. Better.
And yeah, that did add to the atmosphere, the psychology of the song, though. When I was there, I didn't really see it much either, because I wasn't really looking at that.
Well, you know? No, you're not really looking for that, no.
Yeah, I was going to go fanboy there. She while she's on stage, I didn't see the Harlequins. I didn't see the background. It was her and nothing else.
Well, I had five concerts to notice a few other things, but yeah, I wasn't paying that much attention to other things either.
What you're saying about the, you know, the graphics they projected, they are cool. And, you know, anyone listening to this can, that video is available for download from the Chic Artistes website that made the graphics for.
Oh, yeah.
And they are really cool. Actually, you know, I wish there was sort of something, they had done something like that during In Concert, too. It would have added to that show. Not that that show needed anything more.
So one real big difference between this concert and En Concert is that there's definitely not as much interaction between her and the musicians in this.
Actually, I got
a little bit.
This song, I got a note that says "Back to the guitarist again." So she's doing something. Can't remember exactly what, but
I think it comes towards the end. I've got the same note actually.
No, right here.
Oh, okay, yeah, here we are.
There was some, oh yes.
It's not the same, though. It's not that flirty, you know, kind of atmosphere that she had going during some concert.
Right, that's the thing.
Now,
you in generally don't really get that same kind of feeling from what she does.
Well, no, but she's somebody's mom now.
Well, I know, and so that's... It's like it's something that she would show to her kid. I mean, not like there was anything wrong with the other concert either, but,
all,
you know... You know, it's just how she is. There you go.
Her new band just isn't manly enough for Rorschach, and that's all there is to it.
That's exactly what it is. They're all,
you know, that may be what it is.
So I was saying, you know, the first night we were like third row right up front, great experience, and I only went to three shows. My other show in Guadalajara was like fourth row, but in a way closer to the stage. So I had two concerts really right up front. And this show, we were sort of back of the orchestra section. So, I mean, not like absolute last row of the theater, but further back than any other night of my three shows. You know, it was still an awesome experience. There's some shows that I think suck if you're not right up front, and this was not one of those. I still had a blast.
And now we're into the orchestration for, Moa Lolita.
Yeah, here's more of those cool, tweaky intros.
Oh, yeah, mine says great intro, so, yeah.
These guys definitely have a certain feel to the way they do these intros and the way they did their reorchestrations.
And mine says also, the audience starting to freak out. So.
Oh, this is where she's taking pictures of the audience.
Para mi mama. Yeah, I want to see more of those photos.
I thought that was really cool how she actually stands up on the chair and starts taking pictures of the audience.
I don't think she was standing on a chair, but yeah.
I've seen pictures of her, not in this recording, but I've seen pictures of her actually standing on the chair.
Bad girl.
Have we seen any of those pictures?
There were a couple of them that have shown up in, you know, low, small size.
Now, the reorchestration of Moa Lolita, I actually prefer to the original. I like the more rocky sound of it, the crunchy guitar.
I like how she does that groove and head movement there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I like the groove in this version. The synth is awesome. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I think they each are appropriate for their time. I wouldn't have wanted this one instead of the original when the original was the original.
But actually, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, this is a no-brainer, but in Mexico, Jean and Mar gets the biggest reaction, whereas I'm sure in France, this song would. And this song still got, this was probably the second biggest reaction tonight. I mean, they know this is her big hit song in Mexico, but the big hit song in Mexico is Jean and Mar.
La Isla Bonita, too.
Yeah.
By the time 03 came around, I think she's actually doing it with sort of the same attitude back then as here, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I love how the audience is singing along.
Oh, I was too.
Ramon, where's that song?
What's that?
Yeah, dude, you sang along with it on the last one. Come on, you're letting us down here. He's not feeling it today.
Yep, maybe I'll just make a recording someday and I'll send that to you.
Cool.
You can't help it when you're there, waving your arms, singing like crazy.
I'd be butchering it. I would be like, moi, la vida, la, 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 la.
Doesn't matter. Nobody can hear you anyway.
Well, yeah, this song I think I pretty much have down. There's a few songs that I can do that I know the whole thing.
I can do the chorus, but that's about it. The rest of it is a lot of la-la-las.
I can do this part.
Of course.
Hey, DJ, put a record on. I wanna dance with my baby.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the only part I can really sing along with any degree of fluency. So. Now, I love that, how she samples music in this. I know a lot of people don't like it. They miss the Lolita. But I actually prefer this.
Oh, I forgot they didn't do that.
I don't remember. I don't know which one I prefer, but I don't have a problem with that.
Well, it's kind of neat. It's her being a geek for Madonna the way that we're a geek for Alize. It's like, you know, obviously this
okay,
is
okay, sort of. Well, yeah, you know, with all she's done and changed and whatever, I think she's pretty much cut herself loose at this point. Nothing's stopping her from doing whatever she happens to feel like now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I like this one. I think I'm going to go with this as a favorite because she's really letting it go here. She's letting the groove go all over this. I mean, this
and
is,
she
yeah, this
really
is awesome.
Seems to be into
she's
it.
Back.
She's look, she's smiling. She's really enjoying herself up there. And this is a song that she sung for, what, 7 years at this point?
Yeah, awesome. A good song, you know. It doesn't die.
Okay, this is hands down my favorite outfit.
Okay, I like this one the best too. Maybe just because it looks more normal or something. I don't know.
She doesn't show off her midriff anymore, but she shows off her legs now. It's a tough compromise, but it's one I can live with.
No, that's not my
did
favorite.
That before.
Those little red shoes she's wearing now.
Okay, now this is just a good song. It took me a while to really hear that. But now I really like it. It's hard not to sing along.
This is another one that I wasn't a big fan of at first. It took me a while to come around to it. And I think it was actually seeing it live, well, not live, but seeing it here, that really kind of won me over.
Oh, I liked it from actually the first like samples we heard on like preview sites. It was sort of like a guitar part, and I just loved the sort of twangy sound of it. It reminded me a little bit of some of Melissa Mars's music from her second album that had a bit of a Western vibe to it. And, you know, I'm not a country music fan, but sometimes a bit of that flavor I like.
Well, I wouldn't have not ever thought of that.
Yeah, I like it too, even with the tiny bubbles.
I like the bubbles. I think for our next concert, someone should walk down the line and just pass out little, bubble things and have everybody blowing bubbles. That'd be good to get a video of that. Just the whole line filled with bubbles.
What is bubble soap? To blow bubbles. Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
I was thinking like a bar of soap. I'm like, huh? Are we going Pelter or something?
Well, you know, if we did it during Jean Aymar, that would actually be appropriate. It's a song about her taking a bath, you know.
You want bears on stage, not bars of hard soap.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with that one, but
I'm just saying that it would be thematically appropriate. I'm not debating whether or not it makes sense.
The bubbles.
It would also be painful. The songs on the album that took a while to grow on me, but now I really like are the title track, which is arguably one of my favorite songs now. And actually, Lulytown I really did not like so much at first, which is why it's interesting. I like it a lot now. And I sort of can see it being a single. It seems very popular in Mexico, but at the time when the album came out and people were saying, oh, this would be a great single, I didn't see it. It took me a real long time
That's
to warm
weird.
Up to that.
That was my favorite song at first and for a while. And, you know, now I don't know. I like different ones and I kind of switch around. There's a lot of nuance in that song that I think makes it really cool.
So what was the atmosphere like with the Mexico fans? I've read, you know, reports, and I've read people kind of remembering the experience, and essentially the American fans were taken in and treated like one of their own.
Oh, yeah, they were really cool.
And I was treated just like I was one of them. I couldn't ask for better treatment than I got from them, the Mexico fans.
Yeah, Josh, when I went in March for the unfortunate canceled signing, he had his mom pick me up at the airport and then took us to the line and everything and gave us a spot in line. You know that part where it kind of overlaps here? I think they just handled that just right, where she starts singing that this chorus part.
Oh, I love how she looks at the camera.
Yeah, there's some good close-ups on this.
Yeah, she'd look out of the audience and you'd swear she was looking right at you. It just was crazy.
Sometimes she was. She had to have been. I was right there. Yeah, I heard that.
So you got this big smile at the end. A heads up when it ends.
Okay, we're coming up here.
Off track.
Okay, so now we're coming up to the end of Parle de Papier, and we're into 50-60 now.
All right. And this is the punk rock Alice, I guess.
Yeah, okay. My note says, dude, she's really getting into it. You
she
see
really
that a little
is,
farther
yeah,
in here.
Yeah.
Have
really
you seen the DJ? Because that's what I call getting into. That guy can't stay still, man.
Oh, man, Carve is great.
He is. He's
I like how she went up there with him.
Awesome.
You see that in a moment. No one moves more than Carve. He's feeling every beat like it's his last.
He really is 31 Flavors of Awesome, yes.
He's awesome.
Okay, I know I'm a freak, but I'm not really a shoe freak. But those little red shoes she's wearing, I gotta say it again, those are the cutest damn shoes I've ever seen in my life.
And ever will.
Well, what
yeah,
do you guys
really
think of the outfit? I mean, the gangster outfit. Not very gangster, though, but...
It's,
anyway.
That's a gangster outfit? I don't know about that.
Well, it got its...
Okay, because it has a hood? Whatever, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, but what do you think about it? I mean...
Well, I don't know very many gangsters. I mean, I live in what might be considered a bad part of town in Toronto, but I don't know very many gangsters who would be on the bus or, you know, walking down the street in a yummy sushi.
I could see Snoop Dogg wearing one of those. I mean...
Oh, she's a town, that's for sure.
The rapping comes later.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You know, the first night when I saw she was wearing these big black shorts, which she had in one Moscow, I thought that's like so. You know, I mean, I don't want her to expose herself, but I thought it was just so like cheap and cheesy. But then, like during this, if she didn't have them, oh boy, she really needed them. And I think that was a big thing that allowed her to put more energy into the performance than she was able to do in Moscow. So, yay for
actually...
shorts.
There you go. Get down, Carve.
I gotta get me a pair of sunglasses like that, man.
Yeah, okay, that's something I think I can do without.
It's like it's picked from the Muppets.
Muppets. Okay, here's a word out to everyone with big giant sunglasses. It's way, way decades done. Just get rid of them.
Oh, dude, come on. It's total 80s, though. Like, that was like the best time to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's the point here.
Every time I see DJ Carve now, I'm going to think of the Muppets.
What's the name of the band on the Muppet Show? Like Mr. Teeth and something?
The Electric Mayhem.
Electric Mayhem, yes. Alize and the Electric Mayhem.
Hey, you know, that would work.
Alize would have been an awesome guest star on the Muppet Show.
Oh, she so would have been an awesome guest star on the Muppet Show. It is true. All you need is some, like, pigs and penguins dancing around behind them, and it's the Muppet Show.
Okay, she has a couple guitarists
yeah, a
here
couple
who have that kind of cool guitarist
yeah.
looks going on.
Oh, yeah.
He's still no Fifi. That's really good live. I really dig that song.
Yeah, that one is. She should have done that in Mexico last time she showed up. It was kind of odd that she went back to Mademoiselle Juliet. Like those legs.
Oh, yeah.
This, yeah, I just couldn't figure out where to look.
You can see the cute little shoes there.
Okay, mine says smiles are deadly. So...
Wobbly.
Be ready.
Lonely List was an early favorite of mine off the album.
So the set for this one is certainly interesting. We're lacking a giant shoe, but instead it looks like this is supposed to be set in a girl's room or in her room with a poster and the desk. But then at the same time, we've got the swing that's suspended by the vines, as well as, you know, vines growing around the easy chair with flowers and such. So,
Yeah, she had a lot of props and stuff. I think she should definitely continue to work on her theatricality and artistic stuff like that. I think that... That's the kind of stuff she likes, and... Oh, okay. I gotta stop here.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's gonna be part of her hook, I think, is having interesting stuff like that going on.
No, I agree. It appears to be something she enjoys, she does it well, and, definitely, it's something that should be incorporated into more stuff that she does. I cannot get over those legs. Oh my god.
They are shiny.
I think being in Les Enfoirés was good for that kind of thing, too. At least for the experience. It seems like the kind of thing that she's most interested in doing.
Is that mic really that big? I mean, it's like really large in comparison to her.
I don't know. It looks normal to me.
Okay. I mean the mic. It's really, yeah. But I think it's...
That always kind of throws me off there. You're just getting into it and then the video skips it.
And
it
just
shows
skips,
how good
yeah.
this is. Because you forget that you're just watching some dude who had a camera.
It really is an amazing bootleg, especially the risk that he took shooting it. It's just amazing. Creepy, creepy Harlequin.
Oh, yeah. Mine says...
She's nice.
The clown looks like the opera singer of the movie The Fifth Element, if you've seen it.
Well, I never thought of that before, but...
Well, she's blue and she's creepy, so...
You know, I didn't think she was creepy, sorry.
How can you look at that and not think she's creepy?
I thought they were both creepy.
Oh, yeah, what was that thing?
Thank you! No, she's not creepy. Good. She's hot. What are you talking about? She's not creepy.
Honestly, it always kind of throws me off here because the little whispering parts are... The timing's different than on the recording.
Well, not just that, but her mic doesn't seem to have the gain to actually pick it up, so... Can't really hear it all.
Well, yeah, you can't hear it.
Is that the concert mic or the camera mic not picking it up?
No, I think it's the concert mic not picking it up.
Concert mic, I think. And you know, it's not in the official lyrics. It took me a while to figure out what she's saying. I had to go to the search for it and stuff.
Okay, this is hands down
another
rocking
out song.
Yes, absolutely. It's my favorite song. It's my favorite reorchestration. It's my my favorite intro. Everything about the song. The bass line is just awesome. The way she moved.
Yeah, it was.
The song,
it was
just
good.
Incredible.
It was good being there.
Yeah, the
I
crowd was really into it.
Yeah, I remember being really into it at the time.
This gets most improved by the remix award in my book.
Yeah. Okay. This is.
Sorry, go ahead.
Blues, Alice. Compared to the punk rock Alice, this is blues Alice.
I just love the little, like, two-step she does there. It's so, Sorry, I'm just going to geek out during this entire song. You guys, sorry. I apologize in advance.
She looks really on and comfortable with the song. She's just like, screw it, j'ai pas d'entend.
Yeah, she's doing the en concert emote as well. I mean, the real Alice emote, I guess. because she's really that into the song. She's freaking out, and it's awesome.
And like a minute ago there, she's like jumping up and down. I'm like, how is she actually singing at all? She's jumping up and down. That was interesting.
Okay, so here she does this little neat two-step coming up here. It's just awesome. It kills me every time. Right here. Ugh.
Like this, she's like pointing at the audience. Hey.
Hey!
When she's on the left, audience left, she was about 20 feet in front. It was just great.
Yeah, I got like third. Doing the robot.
It's just one 80s reference after another.
Yeah, I was like third row or something for one of these, and just about at the level that she was at, and she was like looking right at me. I'm like, hi.
I was third row, and then we climbed over into some empty seats in the second row.
Oh, yeah, for the Monterey concert, right.
So this song and the next one definitely comprised my favorite, my absolute favorite 10 minutes of the concert.
In our last commentary track, I expressed that the original is not one of my favorite songs. I like it, but it's not one of my favorites. But this version, I mean, I don't know if this is my favorite 10 minutes of the concert, but it's certainly, you know, up there. And if someone says it's their favorite 10 minutes, I'm like, yeah, I get that. And I love the remix.
So the energy is so high on this one. She's so into it. She's so enjoying herself.
Yeah, right there, she's like pointing to the...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And the contrast towards the last one, Lonely List, it's also, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have been the same if it were another song. But that song was kind of, slow and moody. And this one is like raw energy and, right in your face. So
it's good to have a contrast between the song. It kind of gives you a break from one thing, because I mean, it's like you can only scream and clap just so much, you know.
Yeah, so I think the balance in overall in this concert is really awesome.
There's a couple songs where you're doing a lot of clapping in between. I remember Ben being like, man, they shouldn't have done it. They're wearing me out.
Yeah, I think the order was, it worked musically, but when you're playing a concert, you should think about fatigue. It was too many songs in a row that had your arms in the air clapping, and it was just like arm fatigue by the end. I'm like, we need like a ballad in the middle here. This is to give us a rest. You know, it was like three or four songs in a row where you didn't get a break. By the end, you're in pain.
I really wish she'd record this version. This is such an awesome version of the song. And the lip light. Ugh.
You go, girl.
Could we just rewind it and watch that one again?
Yes, please, please, can we?
Next week.
Okay, this is a little speech here.
Okay, I think I caught a little something what she said there. It took me a while to figure out what she was asking us to do here. A couple of concerts before I remembered, oh yeah, I got to pull out the phone here.
That I thought that was really cool, having everybody pull out their mobiles. I mean, I can't imagine she's the first artist to do it, but it was still, it's a very cool effect.
Oh, yeah, and in Monterey in particular, I remember looking back and just, you know, the whole sea of people with their cell phone lights, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, she's right. It was beautiful.
It's beautiful.
This comes off very well on the video, but it does not compare to being there. It's amazing.
This is Simon and Garfunkel, right?
This is indeed Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes,
they're awesome.
It's kind of cool to watch these just because you get a different feel for Alize. You know, how often does she really take charge of an audience like she does here? We hardly ever see her, actually. So it's a really rare thing in her life, in fact. That alone makes it a little strange. I think Alize really had fun during these concerts. It was
she really does appear to be really enjoying herself, yeah.
You got your lighters?
No, but I have my cell phone up.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm wearing my Mexico hat.
Got a sombrero?
No, my fan club.
Oh, yeah, right. And yeah, you know, unlike
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, unlike certain other artists, you know, she's really not done a lot of this, so this is really special for her, too.
Now,
I mean, she had all those years before I was around, but okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, how do we feel about the fact that she chose to do an English cover of a Simon and Garfunkel song, which is, from what I've read, is her favorite song, as opposed to taking another one of her classics and reorchestrating it and doing that?
Well, like she said, it was her favorite song since she was a little girl, and so that's what she
did. Yeah, and it really shines through. So I think, really, she should pick whatever she's comfortable with and go with it. And yeah, the result, yeah, it's this.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not really that into this song in particular, but, you know, it's just the fact that it's what she wanted to do, so...
Okay, I'm old enough to have bought the original album from Simon and Garfunkel on vinyl, so I like the song.
I'm guessing for Alize, she just, you know, really loves the song. I imagine a lot of people that cannot not associate it with The Graduate, so it's a bit of an odd connection, but it's...
Yeah, that is true.
Well, it's nice for me because I never saw that movie and I don't associate it with anything.
Well, see, now for you, it'd be weird seeing The Graduate because you'd always associate with that song with Alize, so...
That would be strange.
Yeah, there you go.
It is weird because it's such a sort of melancholy song, but she's so happy and bubbly while she's singing it.
Yeah, also, she's a bit reflect. You know, I mean, what's the word? I was going to say reflective. That's not the right word. You know, she doesn't... It's not just, oh, happy I'm singing this song. There's a sentimentality here as well.
Oh, right. I get what you're saying. Because it's from her childhood.
Well, it is something you can tell. It is something that definitely means something to her. She is singing it with a certain amount of emotion.
Right. It's not just like it's not like the previous song that was just like, happy, happy rock out concert. Yeah.
This is one of my favorite songs, and her cover of it is actually one of my favorite covers. She really does it justice.
Yeah, it's great.
Osana.
I wonder what they think about it.
That one in particular in Guadalajara, she did really good. I hope somebody gets a recording of that.
It's nice to hear some English, too.
That's actually another one I'd like to hear a record for an album.
Yeah, why not? Record all kinds of stuff and just throw a bunch of extras on. I mean, it certainly wouldn't help, or certainly wouldn't hurt.
Hi, Edgar.
Hey, Edgar, buddy, what's up?
Hola, amigo.
As far as her singing and so forth, I think this might be one of the best songs. Okay,
oh, yeah,
I'm not going to be the one to say anything particular about that hand.
The placement of it is kind of interesting.
It's like, dude, don't you realize...
No, he doesn't, because he doesn't know that Takeo is standing behind him with a camera.
I didn't realize.
Everyone in the place was laughing about this dude, his hand up. The one hand you see out here.
Nope. I never noticed that.
Oh. And now there's two hands. So there's a guy being pulled up.
Zeus!
Right?
The president of the Mexican fan club.
El administrator.
It's always struck me as really odd, though, that she brought up guys for the first couple concerts, because it's a song about her daughter.
Yeah, they're big fans, you know?
Yeah, it's weird.
That was great.
Did you guys talk about the guy from the first night yet?
No,
not yet.
He was great. He was crying by the end.
Oh, he was cute, man.
And then we saw him after the show, and we're like, "Oh, you're so lucky." We're talking to him. He was from, I think, from Alize Latino. You know, I don't even know like his name or who he was, but he seemed really a big fan. You know, and I feel so great for him. And what you mentioned about girls in Pueblo is a girl, right, Roman?
She had three children up on one of the concerts,
which I think makes more sense. Is more appropriate for the song.
Yeah, Ben was pointing that out at the time, laughing about it. But you know what? I'll take his place.
Any day.
Sing whatever you want to me, Alize.
Oh, no, take a kid. Don't bring me on stage.
Oh, I love this song. It's so nice.
It is really nice, though. It's probably, You know, I always hate to be the one saying least favorite this, least favorite that. It makes me sound so negative. I love it, but it's probably my least favorite song on the album, which I feel terrible saying because Alize said it's her favorite. And it's about Annie Lee, and it's really sweet.
Well, I can understand if you just don't get into it a lot.
Which is, I have to agree with. It's a nice song for what it is. I do appreciate it for what it is, but I agree. It's definitely not my favorite song from the album.
I feel like Mr.
is very nice, though.
Yeah, very. And actually, even on the album, I think it's some of her best singing. The other thing about on the album, though, and I'm talking about like the order of songs in the concert gives you arm fatigue. I feel like the end of the album is a bit ballad fatigue on the Secret Delis.
Just no, I agree. I've always thought the same thing.
Well, yeah, I think I know what you're saying. At the end, you can also kind of look at it a bit. If you're looking at it that way, you can say it trails off and just kind of ends calmly or something. You know? Of course, in the
I feel CD like Idealize is like the last real song, and then Le Fay is like a bonus track almost. I don't know.
That's it's kind of like a little PS at the end of the album, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a nice little bonbon at the end.
And it's interesting since they said that the music was originally something different, and Alize asked that it be changed, so that's sort of interesting.
She didn't like how it went and stuff.
Yeah, and then the original was used on the other guy's album or something. We gotta track that down.
This is one of the songs where in Monterey everyone piled up to the stage.
Well, because she's right there.
Well, it kind of ruined it because the stage was lower and they surrounded her standing up, and I couldn't see her.
Okay, how can you look at this and not think he's creepy?
He's
the Joker.
Cat in the Hat.
Let's.
More like Cat in the Hat.
Okay, he's a little creepy. I do like her, though.
I don't know what he's saying.
He's threatening to poison the reservoir of Gotham City, is what he's saying.
Edgar, you're up.
Of Lilytown.
Want to see a magic trick?
Well, it's really nice that she,
Abracadabra.
You know, was able to connect with...
So Edgar sent us a translation. Right,
yes,
exactly.
A translation. Who's going to read that?
Go for it, Roman.
He did, how do you feel? It's been a long while since you felt so good, right? Everything goes by so fast. You remember when you were a kid? Haven't you asked yourself before that if everything goes by so fast, it is because we let life go? According to my long, long experience, sadness consists in letting your life go. Simply, you just have to want to be happy. I think he's saying that when we don't do what we want and we just get into such a routine that we just let life pass us by, that makes us sad. According to my experience, I agree. I feel like this is all something Ali Zay would say too, by the way, I wonder. So he says, do you want to be happy? Take the sun with your arms and walk on ahead. I know the address of a desert island where the beaches go on forever. Come on with me. And here it is.
Cool.
So don't worry, be happy, and something about a wet t-shirt concert or something?
Well, yeah, because Edgar translated what I think was supposed to be beaches as t-shirts, and it said that the t-shirts go up. And like, what the heck?
How does beaches become t-shirts?
Well, because it was playeras instead of playas. And I actually saw that translated as sneakers on some website, too.
Wet sneakers.
Well,
a wet sneaker contest. That's hot.
Because it was like, what does that mean about t-shirts going up? And it gives you a different image in your mind, which I'll not mention here, but anyway.
So, speaking of t-shirts, we've had another wardrobe change here. What do we think of this one?
Favorite outfit.
I kind of like this one, too, yeah.
What there is awesome. Of it, yes.
This outfit and those red shoes.
They're less to choose from on this show, and they're all really nice.
She really gets into it in this one as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the crowd was happy about this
Well,
one.
I'm not a big Madonna fan, but this song, you gotta admit, it's pretty nice.
She sings it better than Madonna does, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree, absolutely.
Yeah, when I first heard this, you know, the original recording, it was like, oh, you know, now I really like this song. It definitely was better. She never sang it live there, though, so you can't really compare. I mean, she sounds a lot different now, but I don't know.
Well, again, that was another performance, too, where the sensuality of it was really played up, as to where here she's just having a good time.
Right, as far as the performance goes, yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, stuff in concert has kind of a rocky thing going on, you know. You know, you're going to put a lot of energy into it, usually.
It was really impressive how Alize, this, you know, small little singer, was able to really draw the whole audience in. I've said this before, but especially the night this was recorded, it took a little while, and maybe that was our perspective from being further back, and right in front of us were a bunch of business guys in suits. And right behind us were a couple old men who were telling us to sit down. Did you hear those guys behind us telling us to sit down?
This is a rock concert. We're big fans. If you don't like it, let us get closer. How about that?
To be fair, one of the times they told us to sit down was like the clown came out. And actually the first thing the clown said was, everyone sit down. And we didn't. And then the guys were like, sit down. I was like, no. And they're like, he just said sit down.
Second night. She's talking.
It took a while to get the whole audience, you know, on their feet and cheering. But by you know, around this time, maybe after the ballad segment, she did, and it was really impressive. And I think the business guys never got into it too much in their suits, but the guys behind us, you know, got into it. So they are forgiven
for telling us to sit down.
And they were like on their Blackberries during the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, blasphemy. What the? No.
It's kind of messed up.
Are those the same shoes? The red ones?
She had three different pairs of shoes.
No, I think those are the same shoes. The little red shiny shoes.
Well, those might be, but she did have a few different pairs of shoes and a couple red ones.
It's hard to remember when I actually saw her.
I just love how they kept the beginning of this song. I mean, it's so important. It just puts one right into the mood, the way that music starts up.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that this is another classic that's being carried over, but of them all, this one is the most faithful of them.
Yeah, I think so, and that's it's good. It's such a great song, you know.
Lobeam, do you still do the Ah Shaw thing when you hear this version of it?
I did it in the audience at Monterey.
So, Mon says this is kind of a dark set for this happy song. I mean, the scenery.
Never thought of that.
Melancholic.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's a really upbeat song, and yet the lighting is almost kind of somber. It's true.
So when you were at the concert, did you like notice this, or did you just?
Well, I never thought of that until you just said it.
I think it was the light level was better at the concert than what you're actually seeing here, but it does look like a darker set.
This reminds me of what I used to always think about Alize. She takes these songs and kind of, you know, whatever it's about, she just kind of makes it nice and fun sometimes, like this song.
I like that. She makes it nice.
Well, yeah. I mean, like the subject matter and what she's saying sometimes, you know, you could play it more somber and that kind of thing. But she's just sort of like,
well, this song is twisted.
She's just kind of carefree and everything, you know, and that's Alize.
You know, I never realized how twisted it was until last week when we were talking about it. And then I went and looked at the lyrics, and it's like, oh, dear. What is the Harlequin handing out there? What is it, like candy?
She's throwing candy. She's throwing candy out to the crowd. I have a piece.
Did you?
I think I have a Jolly Rancher.
I caught some, but I gave it to Riho.
Some gourmandise for the audience.
Exactly, yeah, it was Jolly Rancher and Little Chocolate Bars.
Which, when you stop and think about it, is kind of strange for this song. Like, what does that have to do with anything? You know?
it is a little bit different, yeah.
I never thought of that until I started watching this video, you know. I was like, why is she throwing candy at the...
Join the dark side, we have cookies.
Excellent.
She's actually singing about a prostitute in this song.
Yeah, that always kills me, the what the words are about and how she presents it.
But that totally doesn't matter in this song, especially in this performance here. It's like that what she's actually saying has nothing to do with her performance here, and it doesn't matter either, especially since most people don't know what she's saying.
Well, I was going to say, probably about 98% of the audience doesn't understand it anyway, anything except Hey Amigo, so...
And that's the thing on her new album. I think there's a lot more a lot more rests on the lyrics, and yet most of the people who are fans don't really follow what she's saying, so.
See, that's one reason why I always thought, that Lilytown should have been the first single, because Lilytown, there's tons of references in there that even if you're not French, you totally hook into. She references Gandhi, John Lennon, A Streetcar Named Desire, Motown, and you know what I mean? It's just, that could have been such a hook, you know?
Well, at first, that was my favorite song.
Man, I want to see her perform this one again.
You got five, man. Well, I only got three here, and Roshan's got nothing.
I got nothing.
You got one a month.
Sure, that's not asking too much.
Okay, so it's time for Gangsta Alize.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
You know, I was going to say it's my favorite
for her to start singing here.
Okay, this is another one where she's rocking out hard. This is cool.
But the arms are starting to pain.
Fortunately, it's easier here. We don't have to clap. But, you know,
Wait, you're not clapping?
Close. Yeah. And I was clapping. I was doing it for Alize, you know. I mean, she was there. She was watching us. And, you know, it was like, even if I got tired, I was like, I don't care, man. I can't let her down.
She does this really well live.
We just got all this energy,
yeah,
and it was
great.
Like, I have to be enthusiastic through the whole thing, because it's Alize, and look, and she's putting so much energy into it, it's the least we can do, you know?
Oh, I just remember how we were just screaming décollage.
I specifically remember just when she said everybody, really, I mean, I looked behind, everybody was clapping or waving or, you know, it's just impressive. Not everyone can do that. Even if you have a successful concert, you don't always get the last row clapping and waving along with you. But she did. She projected to the back of the theater, which is impressive.
Oh, yeah. She's really rocking out hard here. That was cool.
Projected energy. I mean, obviously, projected her voice as well. You got amplifiers to help you. But I'm saying, like, you know, project that presence, that energy involved. And as I said, you know, this night we were further back, not all the way back. But somehow, you know, felt like we were closer than we actually were, because, you know, she extended that energy throughout the whole place.
You know, a lot of people are down on this song, but I really dig it.
I thought I wasn't going to like it, you know, when we first got the little clip and stuff, but I don't know, she makes it work.
Oh, she totally makes it work.
Well, the hook is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I guess this is one of the songs that works out better live than on the album. I mean, it's really, yeah, hooking.
It really is excellent live, yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, it definitely is a song wanting to be performed live.
I mean, it works better, but I'm not a fan of this song, so.
No,
but
how come?
It works better live.
You're not a big fan of the rap, or?
No, not this song, I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure if it's that, or the lyrics, or what, why more French didn't like it. I'm not really sure.
Remember clapping to this at the autograph session?
Oh, yeah, that was a good idea, man. And she was looking over us, and she was appreciating it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not her. I don't know.
Well, yeah, for what we knew her as before this album, certainly. That's true.
I think that's why I like it.
That was great right there.
Yeah, she really got into it, so it makes it all much better. So I actually enjoyed it, even though I don't like the song. But that was what I'm trying to point out.
I'm not saying that I'd want to hear her do a whole album of rap, but, you know, for what it is, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like the fact that she had these different kinds of songs in this album.
I think when you look back on it in a couple years, it'll actually be appreciated more as a transitional album. Because like you said before, now she's pretty well open. She's gotten this one out of the way. There are some people who didn't like it. There are some people who really dug it. But she's at the point now where now she can do anything.
Yeah.
I just hope she does. Puts out a lot of albums.
You know that?
Yeah.
It would have been nice to see her be able to come out and do something like that, like at that M6 concert in January. Just really throw it out there, you know, and put a lot of energy into that. Sort of grab the audience. If she'd been able to do that more sooner, I don't know if that would have made any difference with sales or anything, but it would have been nice to see that.
Wait. I think I can translate this one. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? Huh.
There's the bubble for you. And there were two in Russia, I guess.
I really love this song on the album, Cica de Lis. It certainly is very cool live. She sings it great. And I like the whole, you know, clown in the bubble bit, and the graphics I thought were great, but it wasn't a high point of the concert for me personally, even though, it is more of an album song, I think.
So what do you think as far as the, all this, artistic, set and all that? I'm guessing that most of this was her idea.
Yeah, that's how I assume that Mylene took care of her first concert and she's taking care of this one.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Harlequins or the Habit Trail Ball. It's interesting. I'd like to see her do more of it.
Well, after I watched this for a few times, I just have this feeling like man, like what else could she do? You know, she could do all kinds of stuff and have all kinds of different concerts and stuff. And I wish she had more opportunity.
Well, I think the opportunity is still there. I mean, thanks, you know, to the Mexican Miracle, you know, she has the opportunity to do more. Whereas without Mexico, she may not have. But I just think it's a transitional period, and it's hard to see that because we're in the middle of it. But I think, you know, with the next album and going forward, I think all this, everything that's happened in the last year will be appreciated more in retrospect than it has been living through it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I certainly get what you're saying on that. Well, and I was just thinking, though, you know, like in the last 7 months and stuff, it would have been nice if she'd had the opportunity to do more concerts and things like that. And even before that, you know, I mean, since return, compared to who, okay, but she hasn't really done all that much stuff. She did 6 concerts in 2008, you know.
It's so strange that, you know, nothing much has really happened since these shows, because I've said this on the forums, there's this feeling of like anything, you know, just the whole world was opening up with possibilities for Alize after this, and just such a positive vibe and positive feeling, and now it's been like more than six months of relative silence. It's weird.
Well, it sort of makes me wonder, you know, is it something about her, like after she does a concert tour? I mean, after the last concert tour, you know, she was pretty much done and quit, and maybe she just feels like, well, you know, that's it. I did my thing. What else am I going to do? But yeah, it's like, if people were talking about, oh, September, they're going to start doing more promotion and all this and this nothing. And that's, yeah, it's like, right, you're on the top of the world and then, oh, that's it. We're done with Alize, you know, there's more Alize.
Well, clearly there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to, so.
This is a song where when you're listening to this recording, I think the music kind of tweaks it out because it sounds a little weird, the recording.
It's actually probably my least favorite song on the album, I have to say.
Well, I was just looking at the translation, or redid a translation recently, and it's more interesting when you look at what she's saying, you know. But yeah, musically, it's maybe my least favorite or second also.
Yeah, it's a trippy song.
It is kind of funny, though, what you were saying, though, that so much of her music, and I mean, particularly in this song as well, where so much hangs on it lyrically, and yet 90% of her audience does not understand what she could be saying anything here. She could be reading ingredients from a cereal box, and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, but when she made this album, she didn't think that her main audience would be people who didn't speak French.
Well, that is true. That is very true.
Well, yeah, obviously she was making it to make... Well, and that's the thing. I think when she made this album, she was not thinking about any audience. I think she just did what she wanted to do. She was having fun meeting musicians and making an album.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. She just wanted to make this album.
And make it her own.
Right. Everything she did before was, one way of looking at it, was kind of an extension of Glen d'Estaing, you know. It was like, it was just giving her the opportunity to make her own album.
Now, I'm kind of surprised that, A, they did this as a reprise for the encore.
This is the biggest song in Mexico. This is by far the song that carried her in Mexico.
No, and that's why I'm surprised that she does it twice. Why not save it for an encore? You know what I mean? Why perform it early in the show and then come back and do it again?
Well, people like the song.
I remember at this point in the concert, so I was just thinking, like, no, don't go, don't be over, too short. There's all things too short.
Well, I'll tell you, this was hard preparing for this. Just watching this first couple times, getting really emotional, knowing it's the end and she's going away, is amazing. You know, just even after so long, just how much I could feel that.
And for Roro, I'll tell him, at this point in time, I'm jammed against a barricade with holding a banner with one hand, holding the barricade with the other, with 100 Mexicans on my back.
But it's such a, I mean, you were saying how earlier, I think before we started, that these videos don't convey the feeling of being there. And that's, there's a certain truth to that. The thing that it doesn't convey most for me is like that feeling when you're walking out and with the other people leaving and like getting outside. I don't know. And I've never really felt that in any other concert. It's just such a indescribable feeling. Like so happiness mixed with sadness that it's over and just this and this feeling of camaraderie with the people around you because you know they were feeling the same thing. And it was weird. I'm not a touchy-feely guy, but I just sort of felt like hugging everyone who was leaving with us together, you know, who had, especially those nights where we were in the first row and just being like,
yeah. Okay, everybody, yeah, group hug!
Waiting outside for it and stuff. I've never been part of a group where I felt so much apart and like everybody was so enthusiastic and there were so many people who were so happy to be there and everything.
Yeah, so she just goes on and on with this one. She really dragged out. I think she sang this about four times more than in the regular recording of the song. She's making it last as long as possible for us here.
So the encore goes on longer than even what we see here?
No, I mean than the original song. I mean, just watch it. She goes, keeps doing it over and over again.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And she has to walk back and forth and touch people's hands and stuff.
So did you get to touch her?
Yes, I did. I don't think it was at this one, but one of these. That's great. Security guard there getting freaked out about the people trying to get to Alize. Either that or she was trying to escape. I don't know. Well, at least they were good about keeping her safe. That's the important thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, someone should have gotten video of that guy who went up on stage and handed her a big heart pill, though, before getting grabbed and hauled off. That was hilarious.
Well, what a contrast to the concert in Russia where the drunk guy gets up and starts, like, dancing with her.
Oh, yeah. That just made me angry, man.
Well, at first it seemed like she's okay with it and she's playing along, and then it's like, okay, so maybe this is not a good situation to be in.
He seemed less interested in her, though, than just in dancing.
Well, yeah, like he was just all drunk and, you know.
Yeah, he didn't seem, I mean, it was ridiculous and is not a safe situation, but you didn't get the impression he wasn't going to attack her. He didn't even seem particularly interested. He just was like, I want to dance, have a party.
Right, it was just about the thing about, like, you don't know what he's going to
do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, it was like, where the heck is anybody? Yeah, so I don't know how in Puebla the guy just hopped up, like calmly walked up, reached out, Alize took the pillow, and he was like, oh, la la la, and then he just grabbed him around, yanked him off the stage. That's great.
Yeah, Monterey, they had pretty good security.
I love how she does this with the drums.
And then she does the jump. Yeah, one of them, she kept pretending like, okay, I'm going to do the jump. Am I going to do it? No, yes. She finally did.
Gracias.
Hasta luego.
Merci beaucoup.
And there we go.
So that's it.
That's it. Sorry, go
Is
ahead.
Is it over?
It's over.
I was going to say, one thing we didn't cover, since you can't really do it while it's going, is one of your questions was a classic song not done. And so I'd say that the one I'd like most to see is L'Alize. I really love that song. But in some reorchestration, like what I heard in the Russian concert, that just ain't happening.
Yeah, that's the song I picked also.
Actually, that's the song I picked as well.
Yeah, how fun is that?
And if she can't do that, maybe email Adezelle. It seems like she could have just tossed Tompets right in there somewhere.
What other songs were cut out from the Moscow concert? I know that 99 Red Balloons was featured at Moscow, and that's not done here. What others are missing?
Amelie, yeah, I know.
L'Alizé.
Yes, that too. L'Alizé, Amelie.
Oh, she did those in Moscow, and she didn't do them here? That sucks.
But she did not do La Isla Bonita in Moscow. So I think I'm forgetting something, but I remember at the time thinking they took out four songs and added one, I think. So we're three songs less than in Moscow, I think.
Can't have it all.
No, you can't have it all.
Nope. And that was the other thing, is I wonder if in France she would have done Idealize, which she left out from here.
While we're at comparing with a Moscow concert, I got she don't have the high heels, so I think she will be able to move a lot more. And I think this better editing and scenery and her energy and comfortable way of, yeah, I think everything was better, really. I mean, she was more relaxed.
Oh, yeah,
she was
definitely
more into the mood. Everything was much better, so.
Well, I think the Moscow show, you have to remember that was her first show back after so many years.
Yeah,
I think there was a certain amount of, you know, stage fright, or not necessarily stage fright, but nervousness there, you know.
When really not knowing. But, you know, the thing is, I mean, it's not like it was her first performance. She'd been for several months doing other things. One would have wished that everything could be put together better. So I think that sort of points out that just the organization of everything is a difficult thing to do. She doesn't have the kind of experience and clout and ability that, you know, Milan and Laurent have developed over so long. I was just going to say, Laurent started out trying to be a filmmaker. I mean, you talk about theatrical. The guy made a movie, and that was his original intention. I mean, when he started in with his career. So I think that helped. They both kind of started in doing it like, we're going to make a little movie here, rather than just, you know. So I think the whole time there was that putting on a role, you know, and playing it in a certain way, rather than just going and having fun. And Milan doing the mini Milan with Alize definitely carried that through.
Well, yeah, probably. But I mean, I think it's a good thing. Well, you know, we'll get to see more of the real Alize as she really is, as opposed to being necessarily an extension of Milan.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, however much I like that, you know, I just wish I'd been there so I could have seen that at the time and then been like, okay, now let's see what Alize is going to do, you know?
Okay, well, we don't have an awesome remix to go out on in this one. Does anybody have any closing thoughts or anything?
I got to give a shout out to Alberto AC Mix for getting us our tickets. They had this pre-sale that you had to have a Mexican credit card to get the first tickets. Real pain in the butt if you didn't live there. But lucky, the day the tickets went on sale for the first few shows, AC went to go buy them online, and his credit card wasn't working, and he realized he hadn't activated it. And he lives in California, and that minute, he hopped in his car, and he drove to Tijuana, Mexico, to go to the bank that had issued the card, so he could activate the credit card. You haven't heard this story before?
That's brilliant. No, this is the first time I'm hearing that.
Yeah, and then he called me while he was there, because I actually bought them, and he was like, okay, it's a go, and so then I had to buy them.
I was at work and getting text messages from Roman and from AC, and like, first is like, crap, the card isn't working. I'm just like, oh no. And then like the next message is, and like, I'm in the car, I'm going to Mexico. And I'm like, what? It's like, I'm going to Tijuana right now. And that's actually why we were far back this night, because by the time he activated his card, I had told him the second night of the two nights in Mexico City is lower priority, obviously. So, you know, as soon as he activated his card, he got those tickets for the first night. And then he did this night, like last Friday, and that's why we ended up not being, you know, we would have been pretty close if his card has been activated. So, but still, gotta give him a big thanks. I don't know anyone else who would just jump in their car and drive to Mexico to buy concerts.
That's brilliant. Oh, that's
dude,
hilarious.
It was
I love that.
An Alize concert, man. What else could you do?
Okay, well, on that note, I guess we'll wrap things up here. Thanks, everybody here in the chat room with me, for coming out to share your thoughts today. And thanks to all of you at home for listening along with us. We really hope you enjoyed it. stay tuned for the next episode of the Alize America fan commentary track. We're going to be changing it up a little bit for the next one. Rather than watching a concert video, as we've done for the last two, we're going to be weighing in on Alize's two appearances on the French television show Stars à Domicile, which should be a lot of fun. So keep an eye on the iTunes feed and visit us at the Alize America forums for more details or just to hang out. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you on the forums.
All right, cool. Catch you on the threads.
See you.
See you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
This has been a production of Alize America. Copyright 2009 and fully owned by its hosts. Our theme music was produced and performed by I'm Raj. You can find more podcasts, high-quality videos, image galleries, discussion forums, and more, all dedicated to the one and only Alize at www.alizeamerica.com.
The flame is okie dokie.